So I thought it would be a perfect opportunity for us to be joined once again by TJ O'Hara. Now, fresh polling from the United States has shown us that the president, Joe Biden, is actually trailing Donald Trump, the previous president of the United States, in five of the six most important states just 1 year before the presidential election. The poll from the New York Times and Siena College showing that Joe Biden has lost support among registered voters in some of those key spots: Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania. Currently, Joe Biden is only leading in Wisconsin by just 2 percentage points. He certainly seems to be suffering at the moment publicly, people speaking a lot about his age and his ability to be commanding, even in the way he is sort of talking his messages and sharing his thoughts. There's also deep dissatisfaction over his handling of the economy. So the current results would predict that Joe Biden would lose to Donald Trump, who we all know, believe it or not, is actually currently the likeliest Republican rival. Now, he was making headlines of his own today. Donald Trump clashed with the judge that was overseeing his civil fraud trial, and he was actually being asked questions today in court. It led to some fiery exchanges between not only Donald Trump and the judge, but the judge and Donald Trump's lawyers. Joining me now, as I mentioned, TJ O'Hara, author, strategic consultant, and 2012 US presidential candidate himself. Good afternoon to you, TJ. Nice to have you back on Afternoons.
Thank you, Sophie, for having me on.
Well, there's plenty going on in Australia, TJ. We've just had our big horse race, and we'll get back to some of the details of that in just a moment. But this race is also unfolding over the next 12 months in the US, and I'm sure that even you, with all of your knowledge and understanding of the way things turn in the US, must be scratching your head at some of the things that we're being told and shown.
It's almost like a bad play, Sophie, to be honest with you. There's so many things going on now, and it's almost surrealistic that it looks like it could be a rerun of the 2020 election.
Extraordinary stuff, TJ. So really two parts to this story. Let's talk about what's going on with the presidential election, and then we'll talk about Donald Trump in the courtroom. Joe Biden's team have noted that polls have historically failed in the past. There's no way he could be getting complacent, though, and he would be looking at particularly the swing voters in those areas that we just talked about.
I think the difference between this and 2020, in 2020 he was able to stay off the radar screen. As they have jokingly said in our country, he was campaigning from his basement. So there was the Joe Biden of the past as a senator and as a vice president, but pretty innocuous and just viewed as a nice guy, particularly in comparison with Donald Trump's personality. The challenge now is that President Biden now has a record, and that record is being harshly viewed by a lot of people in the United States, and I think that's what's keeping Trump in the race, quite honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that there are plenty of factors that are now playing into why it is that Joe Biden would be losing some of that, even the voter base that he may have had. There are lots of doubts over his ability and his age. How does he prove that it isn't a liability?
I think it is a liability. It's difficult to talk your way out of it. The reality, as you said it, when you watch him present, when you watch him enter a room or exit a room, there are a lot of issues with the way he presents himself, and you can't talk that away. The fascinating thing is that Donald Trump is currently facing 91 indictments across four jurisdictions with a potential cumulative maximum sentence. I think it's 134 and a half years if he were to be convicted on all counts, which won't happen, but it's a staggering number. And one has to wonder if a large number of voters in the United States are simply clueless cheerleaders for the former president, or if the current president is simply just that bad.
The unfortunate reality, TJ, is that there doesn't seem to be any strong contenders from either side at the moment, either from the Democrats or from the Republicans, who would step into this void that would be left by either of these men.
Well, I think the challenge with that, I think there's some good candidates on the Republican side. Now, we just have a single Democratic candidate who just entered this week, so it remains to be seen if that's a serious contender or not. You have Governor Newsom from my state, California, doing his global tour of "I'm not running for president," and everybody knows he's trying to, It's like a vulture circling a carcass. So I think there's potential on both sides. The problem is, how do you overcome the visibility of a seated president of the United States versus a former one with a bombastic personality who's always in the news, like Donald Trump?
And speaking of that, he clashed, as I said, with the judge who's overseeing one of those many trials that you're talking about at the moment. This was his civil trial overnight, and he was defying the warnings that were directly being given to him by the judge when it came to just answering the questions that he was being asked. Tell us a little of what unfolded.
They have asserted on the Trump side, both he and his sons, the basic defense has been that neither he nor his sons had a great deal to do with the property appraisals that are the crux of the issue. And people miss the fact that the judge has already found them guilty of fraud before this part of the trial even took place. They're merely haggling over price at this point. You know, what's the punishment going to be? Essentially, some of the properties were obviously overvalued. Even Trump admitted that. He said that he thought several of the valuations were too high. However, some of the properties appear to have been very undervalued. So the challenge has been his personality erupted today. His sons, I think, were temperate when they testified. I think Ivanka, who will finish up the trial tomorrow and not really involved in the case other than she'll attract press, and I think that's the only reason she's being called. I think his personality just overwhelmed everybody today, as you would expect. After he stepped down, he talked to reporters, called it a scam, said it should have never been brought. He said the case should be dismissed immediately. The fraud was on behalf of the court. Said the attorney general was orchestrating election interference. He had a very hostile judge. He had uncomplimentary things to say about him. So, you know, he's really an attorney's worst nightmare, and I say that as a former litigating attorney. I guess you could say his narcissism prevents him from ever exercising the right to remain silent. But you have two other bad actors in it, too, Attorney General Letitia James and Judge Engoron. They both have their issues. The Attorney General ran on the basis that she was going to get Donald Trump. She's been after him for years. And a lot of the claims that they're bringing today date back 9 years. Why not bring it, other than during an election year, why not bring it as soon as you can if it's really an issue? Be interesting to see how many similar cases she's brought against other wealthy developers in New York, and I bet it's a pretty small number. The judge, on the other hand, as you alluded to, he was a bad actor as well. His Honor is a former taxi driver and rock musician whom I believe is marketing a screenplay as we speak. So he's as an unconventional as Trump is, and it wouldn't be a stretch to suggest that. So far, he's already found that the Trumps were guilty before this hearing took place. He held Trump in contempt of court for not complying with a subpoena. He found him liable for one type of fraud. He ordered some of his companies dissolved. He sanctioned him twice for violating the gag order, and he threatened him with imprisonment if he continues to ignore the gag order. So you've got a tremendous basis for appeal. And the challenge is that the judge had already found him guilty, not only him, but his adult sons, 10 of these companies. They were all found liable for fraud before this hearing even started. So there's going to be an appeal, and it's going to be a lot more interesting than this hearing.
I think it's really confusing watching from far away too, TJ, because as you mentioned, this is a civil case, which is separate from those other ones you mentioned, the four criminal indictments that he's facing. So this one's a judge-only matter. There's no jury. And unlike in those criminal cases, this one doesn't result in any jail time. Do you think that the waters are being too muddied at the moment? And so that means that for his base and for his supporters, when he says things like, I hope the public is watching, this is a witch hunt, and all of those lines that we hear from him, that you're wrong in your opinion, you've ruled against me without you've known anything, you've done a terrible thing, does that just bolster his base?
I think it actually does, Sophie. That's a great point. I think what's happened, it's kept him in the news. It's made some people feel compassionate and show sympathy towards him. I think because of the way the cases were brought, the charges that are being levied against him in all five of the cases, including the four criminal, a lot of the charges are charges that have never been brought against anybody else in the history of the United States. And the one in New York, the civil case, isn't much different. As I said, I'm willing to bet the number would be very small, if even existent, as far as the AG bringing a similar case against other similarly situated people like Donald Trump. The reality, I've been the CEO of four companies, and CEOs sign corporate documents with not necessarily all the time a deep understanding of the details.
Yeah.
They trust their experts. It's like when we file our taxes in the United States, we have tax preparers, if it's complex, because there's roughly 7,000 pages in our U.S. tax code.
Sure.
And that expands to about 77,000 pages when you include federal regulations and tax guidance. So if civil fraud with respect to property appraisals is taken to mean inaccurate appraisals, there's a lot of civil fraud out there.
Yeah, and I think, TJ, again, looking and sort of observing from afar, I'd love to finish with giving you an opportunity to help us understand how the sort of the current climate is. There is obviously everyone now feeling a little anxious with what is going on in the world. We're seeing, unfortunately, more here in Australia and certainly in the US, behaviour of people that's been prompted by what's going on in the Middle East. How is that playing out from your perspective at the moment across the US?
It's furthering the divide. I hate to say this, but rather than the United States of America, we've got two political parties, particularly their extreme winds, who are more keen on creating the divided states of America. And we're seeing that. The separation between reality and political partisanship is massive. And it's a little frightening at this time, to be honest with you.
Well, I dare say that there'll be plenty more for us to talk about over the coming weeks. I really do appreciate you jumping on and talking with us this afternoon.
It's my pleasure, Sophie, and I look forward to it.
Yeah, that's TJ O'Hara, and it's important for us to understand what's going on over there, because we know, as they say, in the economy and in everything else, when America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold.